Hello. Welcome to Refreshing Truth, the weekly podcast for River of Life Lutheran Church here in Goodyear, Arizona. My name is Pastor Lincoln Albrecht, and God's word for our consideration comes to us from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 61. We'll read verses 1 through 3, then pick up in verses 10 and 11 at the end of the chapter. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and garments of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness, as a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the soil makes the sprout come up and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the Sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. This is the word of our Lord. Join us this Saturday for a Christmas party at Brinkley's, East 2320 Osborne Avenue. Dinner begins promptly at 5, gift exchange at 8 p.m. Imagine receiving this invitation and attending this Christmas party. You don't really know a whole lot, right? You know the time and you know the place, but you don't really know anything about the Brinkley's. So maybe because your spouse says you're going or some neighbors encouraged you, you go and you get a kind of generic gift. And you make your way over there. Only when you arrive, you find out Brinkley's is not some family who's having you over for dinner, but rather it's a really nice restaurant. When you walk in the door, you notice right away that everyone else is dressed to the nines. Now you're just hoping that the dining room is dimly lit. But as you're escorted in by the maitre d', you're seated at a large table in a private room, and everything inside is beautifully arranged and decorated. They pull out the chair for you, you sit down, and notice that there are 6 forks at your table setting. On your plate is a list of foods and wines, and everyone else seems to be reading it with enthusiasm. As you pick it up, you begin to wade through a bunch of words you can barely pronounce, much less explain. And then it hits you. What you're looking at are not the choices for dinner, but the courses of dinner. And each one comes with a wine pairing. All of the sudden, you're overwhelmed by a lot of things, but especially the cost. See, as the butterflies are setting up camp in your stomach, the waitstaff brings out the first course. And it's pretty. Too pretty to even eat. And then the head chef comes out and explains what he's prepared and why he's paired it with this particular wine. And you thought you were just going to the Brinkley's for some Christmas ham and cookies. Now you're worried how much this whole experience is going to cost you and how embarrassed you're going to be when it comes time for the gift exchange, because this doesn't seem like a white elephant group. For many people, Christmas is a lot like this dinner party. There are some who know exactly what they're getting into. They are prepared. They may run themselves a little ragged, doing all the research, but they've got the right clothes, the right decorations, the right presents, and they're there at the right time. Come Christmas, they feel like they'll be ready to celebrate. And there are others who are really overwhelmed by the whole thing. This time of year is yet another reminder of all that is not right in their lives. They don't have the money to get all the right presents that they'd like. They don't have the time to get anybody the right present. They don't even have everything right in their relationships. At Christmas, they worry about what might happen, how they're going to afford it all. At Christmas, they deal with feelings of loneliness and inadequacy. Now, I'm not sure which group you identify with more. But regardless of which side you see better, we all know that Christmas celebration and the rejoicing that comes with it, it can't last. Now, for some of us, it's because we can't afford it. But many of us really just can't maintain that kind of pace. And all of us know that we can't keep this kind of joy alive in our hearts all year round, all on our own. And this is why Isaiah 61 is so important for us. This is why the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is so vital for us, especially at this time of year, because the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord, God's anointed, does some important work. He does the hard work of identifying our real struggles, our deep-seated sins. Now, we may think that we're fine, but just like showing up to that swanky Christmas party, what we think and how we are really seen can be two totally different things. And by the time we realize it on our own, it would be too late. You see, you may be able to take your lumps for a night, but God here is talking about an eternity. And that's why it's a blessing that the Anointed One gives us an honest assessment. He tells us the truth that we might not want to hear, but desperately need to. He tells us that we are poor, afflicted. Now, you may not be financially poor, but even if you do feel like you are, in a global sense, you have to recognize that you are pretty blessed in material things. But here, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is talking about a spiritual kind of poverty, how we are all poor, miserable sinners, how we lack the righteousness that God expects, that He demands. We don't have the spiritual shekels to sit with God. We have sinned and fallen short of His standards, His glory. And we may be able to fool ourselves about our own sin-stained past. We may think that being ignorant of our sins is, in a way, blissful. But not God. God cannot be fooled. God cannot be mocked. He knows all your flings and your failures. He noticed how you stole from your employer by giving something less than your best, by taking what did not belong to you. He heard you assail the character of another just because you were jealous. He recognizes the disrespect, the covetousness, and all the malice that makes its home in your heart and mind. And all the good deeds that you could ever dream up could never pay for even one of your sins. This is why we are all poor, miserable sinners. Of course, the Anointed goes on. He describes us as brokenhearted, captives, and prisoners. He's reminding us that our sins don't just hurt other people, they are also intensely self-destructive. See, being brokenhearted is more than just being down in the dumps for a little while. It's not a season of sadness. Those who are truly heartbroken cannot move on. Their will has been damaged. They are weak and defeated. And that's exactly what sin does to us. All those battles against sins like lust, anger, and pride, they take their toll on us. That's what made the Apostle Paul refer to himself as a wretched man. Because despite all our effort, all our promises, all our adjustments, we continue to suffer loss after loss, and so we are captive to sin. See, the Bible tells us in John 8 that everyone who sins is a slave to sin, that no matter how hard we work, we can never earn our freedom. We are like prisoners sitting in a dark, dank cell, despairing. Utterly hopeless, the gloom and misery of our situation chills us to the bone. At times, death, yes, even death, seems preferable to our present state. Now, I know people may not always feel this way, But this is what we would all be without Christ, poor, brokenhearted, captives, and prisoners. But Psalm 34 tells us, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He saves those who are crushed in spirit. This is why the Sovereign Lord sends His Anointed One, His Messiah, our Christ Jesus. This is why Isaiah writes that He delights greatly in the Lord, that He rejoices in our God. So how does Jesus cause us to delight greatly in the Lord? How does He make our souls rejoice in our God? Well, He doesn't go the Andy Williams route. He doesn't cut a festival holiday album. He doesn't deck the halls or string up loads of lights. No, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord anoints Him, commissions Him to proclaim and to provide. So first we have to ask ourselves, what does He proclaim? Well, a number of things. First of all, good news to the poor, freedom for the captives. He isn't telling us what we want to hear. See, if that were His MO, He wouldn't have told us that we were poor and brokenhearted in the first place. And He isn't merely telling us what He wishes were true. Remember, He's been sent to speak, anointed by the Lord to share this message with us from our sovereign God. This is where the announcement of good news for the poverty-stricken comes, that God loves sinners. That's why He sent His Son. God sent Him to proclaim freedom for the captives. Hebrews 2 describes it in this way, that Jesus shared in our humanity so that He might free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. Just like the creation of God, we, His creatures, have been liberated from our bondage to decay. We have been set free from sin, and the result is eternal life. That is good news. That is freedom. But it all sounds almost too good. And so we need to see quite clearly that this isn't just something the Anointed One says. This is something the Messiah does. And in order to assure us of that, He proclaims this paradox. The year of the Lord's favor and the day of the vengeance of our God. How can a day of vengeance live in harmony with a year of favor? Well, they're not really at odds. At first glance, they may seem that way, but remember what vengeance is. Vengeance is the righteous response to wrongdoing. Revenge is wrong for us. Because when we're seeking revenge, we're really seeking our pound of flesh, not looking to set things straight. But righteous vengeance, that belongs to the Lord. That is His work. And Isaiah tells us that this gives us a year of favor. And what is this favor? This is God's full acceptance, His goodwill. The Anointed One is proclaiming to us a small but righteous rejection that accompanies a wider and greater acceptance. He is anticipating the cross. Jesus' holy and perfect sacrificial death. On the cross, we see God's righteous response to our sin, to our wrongdoing. Here's how Isaiah spoke of it earlier. He took up our pain. He bore our suffering. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The Lord laid on Him the iniquities of us all. This is gruesome, but it is also comforting because the punishment that was on Him brought us peace. By His wounds, we are healed. You see, it's the substitutionary life and sacrificial death of Jesus that provides for us so richly. Here, we are given a crown of beauty instead of ashes. Instead of being reminded that we are nothing more than dust and ashes, we look forward to a crown of life. Instead of tears staining our faces, we are anointed with an oil of joy because God makes us His very own. Instead of being wrapped up in our own despair, we've been given a robe of righteousness, a garment of salvation and praise. You are clothed with what Christ has done for you. By faith, Jesus' righteousness is yours. By faith, you are rooted in Christ. And so you become mighty oaks of righteousness. The same sovereign Lord who took on flesh, who conquered sin, death, and the devil, all your greatest fears and enemies, that sovereign Lord dwells in your heart through faith, Ephesians 3:16 tells us. The Spirit has taken up residence in you, even referring to your body as his own temple. And he produces in you a harvest of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the fruits of the Spirit. And since you live by the Spirit, continue to keep in step. Remember that you are a planting of the Lord, so display his glory in all you do, especially this Christmas season. See, you have an enduring joy, you have a lasting peace, and you have been invited to a special celebration. Not a Christmas party at the Brinkley's where you feel poor and underdressed. No, at this feast, the food will actually be divine, the service beyond your wildest dreams, the experience one for the ages, the host, the head of the church. The address is heaven, the time is eternity, and of course I'm talking about the wedding supper of the Lamb. This is what Revelation 19 says, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added, these are the true words of God. See, there is a heavenly banquet that God promises and provides for you, his child. It's easy to get excited about that. It's easy to celebrate what's waiting for us in heaven. With our eyes fixed on Christ and being with him forever, for eternity, we can delight in the Lord day after day, because we know that each day, despite what we're experiencing, God is bringing us closer to being with him for eternity. This is why our soul rejoices in our God. This is why we delight in the Lord. But let us also rejoice in what our God has given us right here. As we gather together and celebrate this fellowship, what we have here is special. As we gather together around the Lord's altar, we recognize that in the Lord's Supper, these portions won't stuff anyone, but they are spiritually satisfying. Here in the Lord's Supper, we receive tangible assurance of God's love, his favor, his acceptance. Here he gives comfort to all those who mourn. Here he gives his abiding presence to those who struggle with loneliness and inadequacy. Here the Lord proclaims his death, his forgiveness. He provides everything you need. This is why the Apostle Paul encourages us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 to rejoice always, to pray continually, to give thanks in all circumstances. Because this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus this Christmas season. Amen. Now may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Amen.